The halls of the state capitol have been abuzz about the political fate of Representative Jeremy Durham, but amid the hour-by-hour developments, lawmakers have made swift work on a notoriously sticky issue, school vouchers. The private school scholarships had gotten hung up in years past in the House, and now they're one vote from heading to the governor and becoming law. WPLN's Chaz Sisk is here to help us understand the debate. Hello, Chaz.
Hi, Blake.
Okay, so considering vouchers are so popular among Republicans and the GOP dominates the state legislature, I've been a little surprised it's taken so many years to get this far on vouchers. So obviously, some Republicans must have reservations about diverting public school money to private schools. What are their concerns?
Well, I think you're getting at it there when you talk about diverting money. I mean, this fundamentally is about money and also votes. The worry is that vouchers will drain money from the school districts. Although the basic idea behind vouchers is that money should follow the child, it costs about the same to heat a school building, regardless of how many children are inside it. So districts are very concerned that if they start seeing money go out of the district, it'll cost more per pupil to educate kids. The second concern really is teachers and administrators are a very big voting bloc. And if you're a state representative, you want to be pretty sure before you start to take them on. But if you set all those issues aside, there are also some philosophical questions. Here's State Representative David Alexander. He's a Republican from Winchester, talking about one of the things he's concerned about.
You don't have any idea where these children are going to end up going to school, what kind of school it might be, what kind of strange ideology that might be taught at that school besides reading, writing, and arithmetic. That concerns me.
So Alexander's planning to propose an amendment that would ban vouchers for any school that has rules against blasphemy, that teaches that women are inferior to men, or that holds that sacred law is higher than secular law.
And is this a real issue or some kind of red herring?
Well, I think it's a bit of both. I think there are some genuine concerns about the type of schools that would be receiving the vouchers, as well as maybe a little bit of fear-mongering about Islamic schools. But, if you think pretty carefully about it, some of these things could apply to Catholic schools, and they've been a very big proponent of vouchers around the country.
So we're hearing some new arguments against vouchers. But again, we've also never seen school vouchers get this close to passage. Is there something different this year?
Well, in the past, it's been really tough to get everybody on board with the specifics. And at times, voucher supporters have been their own worst enemy. They've tried to make the bill so broad that other people who supported vouchers couldn't get on board with it. Governor Haslam even one time yanked the bill in the House because the people in the Senate had expanded it so much. There's been a lot of lobbying around this over the last several years. Groups like Students First and Americans for Prosperity have been making their case to lawmakers, and that seems to have changed some minds. People like Gerald McCormick, the Republican leader. And also this year, you've had one prominent critic, Curry Todd, who's a Memphis area lawmaker. He's been absent on medical leave. He sits on the committee that was reviewing vouchers. And you have to remember, it came out of that committee by just one vote.
Well, there's a lot to figure out about how this would really work, practically speaking. You're talking about 5,000 students in this first year, growing to a cap of 20,000 students over time. Remind us, who are these students?
Well, they're first of all low-income students who have been assigned to poorly performing schools, schools in the bottom 5% statewide. If all of the vouchers aren't used up, then any low-income student who resides in a district with a low-performing school could receive one. So that means, theoretically, these vouchers could pop up just about anywhere in the state. But as a practical matter, the low-performing schools in Tennessee have been in urban districts, so a lot of your rural lawmakers are probably not going to have to deal with these. That's a point that Bill Dunn, who's a sponsor of vouchers, that he made to his fellow Republicans at a recent caucus meeting.
And I think for most of you, you can probably tell your constituents who ask you about this, you can say, this doesn't affect my district, but it makes the governor happy, which could affect my district.
Is this true, or are some legislators really just seeing vouchers as some kind of favor to Governor Haslam?
Well, I think they see it more as a favor to Bill Dunn than Governor Haslam. The governor has been a bit of a lukewarm supporter of vouchers. It really hasn't been his idea, and he really put forward this plan as a way to head off anything broader. The governor's also said that it's all or nothing on vouchers. It's going to be his plan, or it's not going to be any plan at all. That's why it's so important for voucher supporters to head off amendments like the one that David Alexander has put forward, because if opponents of vouchers can succeed in changing anything in the plan, there's a very good chance that it doesn't become law this year.
Okay, well, we'll be watching. Thank you, Chaz.
Thank you. My pleasure.